Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise, and good morning to our Arizona friends. We figure that out later. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. As always, we are kicking into travel mode now. We're in the second hour of the show. The first hour starts at 11 o'clock here in Palm Desert, CRC Media West. And we talk about all sorts of things happening in the Coachella Valley, all the events going on and whatnot. In today's first hour, we had Diane Williams on from Diane Williams & Associates to talk about the real estate market here in the Coachella Valley, which was fascinating news. All good stuff across the board still. We like hearing that. And Sean and I were talking. Sean's already planning for the future. And that Sean is Sean Flanagan, who joins us in the boardroom. Hey, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's always interesting to hear all that.
It is.
Because we really are almost detached on what is going on with the rest of California in so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so we do our own thing down here. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer for things to trickle down. But the holidays are here. It's busy already. The weather, I have to say, this weather has been perfect.
It's been very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, very nice.
We waited, and it's weird how all of you that live in the desert year-round get this. All of a sudden, it goes from 100 to 80, and then it sits right in that 70 degrees.
Just drops.
Yeah. It's weird. It's really weird.
My only thing is last night, it was a little bit too cold to leave the door open, but then at the same time, it was getting a little bit stuffy inside.
I thought it was...
I kicked the fans on a little bit.
Yes.
So I needed a little bit of something, but I knew the outside was a little too much.
But I felt it was a little bit warmer last night for summer. At least the house got warmer because it was warmer outside, and it stayed warmer for quite a while.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, before it was... It's for a week or so, the house was getting really cold because I'm on the side to where the sun doesn't beat in the windows all day long. Yeah, it's kind of the angle that I'm at. I get the morning sun in the patio, then it drifts on over to the other side, to the back of the house. So anyway, all right. So great to have everybody with us today. What do we have going on? We're going to talk some travel. We have travel news. We are presented in part by A1 Custom Golf Cars and Desert Battery, located in Palm Desert, open 7 days a week. We want to welcome Cabot's Pueblo Museum to the show as a sponsor because they want everybody to hear about them all the time. That's a great place to send people. You get visitors in. You ought to go yourself. Very, very fascinating. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the Cabot's Museum later on in this show. The number to call is 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. And that is because I have Wild Lights tickets at the Living Desert to give away. And we're going to give away a pair pretty quickly. But I just have a few more things we want to talk about before I do that. Tournament of Roses, grandstand seats, and parking. That contest is on the website. Yesterday, the Traveling with Françoise website was down for some reason. We don't know what. It has never been down. It was kind of weird. It did go down on a day where I was promoting people going to sign up for the contest, of course, you know. But the contest is open, and the deadline for that is December 10th. So I have a couple sets of grandstand seats. That means two designated grandstand seats plus designated parking. It makes it so easy. And that way you can go and wander up and down the floats pre-parade and look at them and know that your seats are there and no one can take them, which is really nice. So we have that going on. In fact, yesterday on KESQ, I did a little highlight about the Tournament of Roses Parade and why you should go. And on the website, you'll find the blog, radio show, all sorts of stuff. So just check out Traveling with Françoise. There is the E at the end of my name.com. And check out that website. Oh, all right. Lots of things as we kick into. We are coming up to close to December. Next Sunday, I will be in Arizona. So we're going to take the day off, Sean and I, so I can drive out there because there's a 4-day media event that I'm going to. So we'll replay a past show. I don't know which one. But again, all the information that you might need would be on the website. So I have a few things here that I want to chat about. But Sean, because we didn't do this in the first hour, let's do that now. Open up for the lines for two tickets to go see Wild Lights at the Living Desert. I love that. It sort of kicks off my holiday season. I will mail those tickets out to you. You cannot have one in the last 30 days. 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255 for tickets. Two tickets to Wild Lights are good for any of the nights, any nights that there are Wild Lights. You pick the night you want to go, and I'll mail those out to you. 760-440-8255. So give Sean a call and win yourself some tickets to Wild Lights, and I will mail those out. That is so much fun. I went to opening night, members night, VIP night, and I got lost. I said that in the first hour. I kept circling around going, I don't know why. But they redid a lot of things over there, and it looks amazing, and I do love all the lights. All right, we're going to talk about a little bit about museums. Here are some museums that you might didn't even know exist out there. The Museum of Illusions in Los Angeles, which transport visitors to eye-catching scenes that make them look as if they're hanging from cliffs or are magically shrunk to pop-ups. Now, why I'm talking about this is because now museums are becoming an interactive experience. Not so much are they for, well, they still have the ones that cover, you know, the Museum of Hot Dogs and the Museum of, you know, Old Plains and all that sort of stuff. But, and Railroad, I love the Railroad Museum. But now they're really becoming interactive museums, which is fascinating because of all the digital experience out there. And Sean, we had a winner. Who was that?
You did. You had Cindy in La Quinta.
Okay. Well, Cindy, congratulations. Was she Christmas shopping?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of hustle and bustle.
A lot of noise. So congratulations. You got tickets to Wild Lights. All right. So now museums are trying to catch the craze of the selfies and all that sort of stuff and people using their cameras and taking pictures of everything. In fact, there is a museum now, the Museum of Selfies, and this is due to open in Hollywood later this year, where guests can pose in themed rooms. Why would they call that even a museum?
Because I don't have nothing nice to say about it.
Yeah,
nothing.
I don't know. I don't know why they would even call that a museum, but they are. So maybe your selfies will be up on the museum walls. Here's another museum that is popping up, the Pizza Experience. And you can go to their website, thepizzaexperience.com. It was scheduled to open in October. It might be open by now at the Raymond Theater in Pasadena. So if you want to know all about pizza, the history of pizza, that would be the place to go. And then there is the Museum of Ice Cream, which sounds like a lot of fun to me. As long as they sell ice cream, and that is in Northern California. And they also have exhibits, and it's going to arrive. It's a pop-up museum. It's going to arrive in Southern California as well. They have a stationary and a pop-up. But the Museum of Ice Cream, now, that would be fun to go see.
I've seen videos from it. It looks very fun, yeah.
It looks very fun. So I am doing some things with Traveling with Francoise. We are slowly kind of shifting over, and I'll just tell you right now, it's kind of a big announcement, but we're in the process of shifting parts of it over to a nonprofit for the television show. So I can feature quirky little places like this that have no marketing dollars, none whatsoever. And the name of the show, well, the name of the nonprofit is going to be Artifacts and Arts Across America, which is going to open up a whole new doors for Traveling with Francoise.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, so the radio show will still be Traveling with Francoise, and the TV show will still stay on there on Traveling with Francoise. But I'll explain more as it comes along. But when I see things like this, this makes me want to go to every single one.
Oh, yeah. They look really fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel, like you said, I don't know if they're really museums.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Right.
But no matter what their classification is and you want to call them, they all look like fun.
Yeah. The pizza, I hope it smells like pizza, but I say I am gravitating. The Museum of Illusions, I think, would
that
be...
That sounds cool.
Yeah,
that
very fascinating. Really cool. And, of course, the ice cream. And there's also one, a girl power theme exhibits. This is going to be pop-up as well, called 29 Rooms. I don't know. It doesn't really say too much about that. So the world is changing, folks. The world is changing. Now, if you want to go see something that's very old, ACT, Adult Customized Tours, has the King Tut tour going on December 2nd, Treasures of the Golden Pharaoh. This is happening in Los Angeles. They might have some seats available. I think they've got another bus for it. It's $85 per person. So if you want to see, you had not seen the King Tut exhibits, it's going to be at in Los Angeles. I think it's going to be at the California Science Center. I don't... The print is too small on that for me to read, but call them at Adult Customized Tours, ACT, and ask them about that. They're also taking people over to... the Mission Inn for the Festival of the Lights. You were talking day trip, Sean. Have you been to that? Have you been to the Mission Inn in Riverside?
I have not.
Okay, it's about 40 minutes away. Maybe an hour. And it's incredible, the lights display that is on that mission. It's
really
spectacular. People from all over go to see it. ACT, they have a bus trip going on December 6th to that, $75. So call them at ACT at 760-322-1247. But all their information is on Traveling with Francois's website. So definitely, yeah, that would be a fun day trip, an evening trip for you. It really is spectacular. Your mouth just kind of goes, huh? Makes holiday decorating, takes it to a whole new level. And here's a great Christmas gift, holiday gift, whatever holiday you're celebrating. Get someone who likes to sport fish a package from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Surprise them with that in their stocking. When their face light up to know that you got them a half day worth of sports fishing out there in Dana Point or whale watching. Those are great stocking stuffers, gifts, I'm telling you. And you'll find all that information on travelingwithfrancois.com, or you can go to danawharf.com and make, you know, I'm always trying to look for something unusual and different. If I'm going to give a gift, I usually pick up things when I travel. Last year, we brought up the snow globes for all of my sponsors from New York, and they just loved these little snow globes. They had so much fun. I always think of something different. And when I see stuff like this, like the whale watching or sport fishing or just some of the others, you know, tickets to a museum or jewelry, getting it fixed by B. Olsen's or whatever, I just like something different.
And the people who you give them to like them as well.
Right, yeah.
It is. It's nice to get something different.
Yeah, and just not the usual whatever. What was I? On one of my Hallmark Christmas shows, they were saying people who don't believe in Christmas get socks and underwear for Christmas. People that believe in Christmas get really phenomenal gifts. So I never thought about that. Is that true? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, let's step aside for a moment. When we come back, we have some travel news to talk about. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Francois. I am Francois Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Sean Flanagan. Great to have you with us. We are in the travel hour of the show. Lots of stuff going on. This segment of the show is brought to you by Animal Samaritans, improving the lives of animals and people since 1978. They have their no-kill animal shelter for dogs and cats. They had adoption day, was yesterday, Saturday, but they always have pets for adoptions, foster care, and their Adoption Alliance Animal Rescue Program as well, and so much happening with the fires and whatnot across California with pets and people finding them. And so make sure they're microchipped and have their collars on and all that, especially with all the craziness of the holidays. You can give them a call at 760-343-3477 or go to their website, animalsamaritans.org. Okay, in the world of travel and industry news, looking for air travel bargains this holiday season, Cyber Monday is now firmly entrenched as the ever-growing calendar of holiday marketing gimmicks, giving consumers a virtual cornucopia of deal hunting opportunities in time for the holidays. However, what is not in time for the holidays is the crazy weather out there. Yes.
No. Sorry, go ahead.
What? What was all that?
I was trying to agree with you, and it just wasn't. Things weren't coming out right.
I don't know. And all the storms, Midwest on to back east,
right,
is creating so much havoc for travelers across.
A mess.
Yes, I was thinking the other day. Here's what I was thinking. I'm already getting off track. If I was at an airport and the big cancel come up. And I was supposed to be somewhere, let's say for Thanksgiving or Christmas or one of those specific holidays. And let's say 2 days. I gave myself 2 days to get there.
Right.
And the cancel came up and they didn't know when the flights were going. I think at that point I would just say, you know what? I'm going home.
Pretty much. I think there's like that. There's that line where you're just like, okay.
Yeah. It's just not going to work.
Maybe another time.
Right. It's just not going to work. I'm not going to sleep in the airport
right.
for 3 days to get there and have to turn around and come back a day later. And frankly, safety-wise, I would not want to take the chance.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. That would be my call. But a lot of people that they've planned for, you know, months and months and months and months and months, maybe even years for this family reunion or whatever, and they're just, they don't want to miss it, and they go through all that, and you wonder, do they still have just as good a time after it took them 3 days to get somewhere?
I think it depends on whether or not they're just kind of reacting on emotion.
Yeah.
You know, and just doing it because they feel at that point they have to do it.
Have to do it.
Or but if they're just kind of making an effort towards doing it.
Yeah. I mean, if they're shutting down airports, there's a good reason for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. You know, those, it's not just because.
Yeah. Those airlines, they make money by being up in the air.
Right.
Not sitting on, you know, in an airport tarmac somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
if you're sleeping in the airport, they're not making any
money. Yeah. Some of the airports even have cots. Did you see that? They have cots in there for people to sleep on.
I wish they had that when I slept in an airport.
What?
I said I wish they had that when I slept in an airport.
But if they think you're going to be there that long that they're giving you cots, you might wonder.
Yeah, if they're offering them, like,
I might wonder. Anyway, so that's my thoughts. Okay, here's something new in hotels. It is a self-driving hotel room. Yes, this could revolutionize travel. They say, what do you get if you cross a hotel room with a self-driving vehicle? The Autonomous Travel Suite is what they're calling it, a hotel room on wheels. The ATS is the brainchild of Toronto-based Steve Lee of Aprilli Design Studio and could revolutionize the way we travel. So we rent this autonomous vehicle, and instead of stopping to stay in a hotel, we stay in the car.
It just sounds like an RV.
Exactly. Except it drives itself, though.
Right. So why can't it just be an auto-driving RV? Why does it have to throw a hotel in there for?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking hotel, I want nice, you know, shower, amenities, somewhere to relax. I don't see it as a car-sized vehicle. Right.
I think that if they're going to say hotel, then the passenger of the RV needs to be like room service.
Yeah.
That can just kind of step back there from time to time and help me out.
Yeah, that's right. There wouldn't be room service in there, would it? No. I don't know. I agree. This is just a different name for an RV, except it drives itself.
Yeah,
which,
I think the hotels are putting the money behind it.
Yeah. Somewhere in the world, hotels will... No, that's not what I was thinking. Someday in the world, autonomous travel will be all the rage. Cars will be driving themselves, so you don't have to worry about it. But we'll see how it goes. All right, unchanged from a year ago, these are the hottest spots for Thanksgiving travel. So think about, were you one of the hot spots? Yeah, well, we'll go backwards from number 5 to number 1. Number 5 was Chicago. Number 4 was Los Angeles. Number 3 was Las Vegas. Number 2 was Orlando, Florida. And the number 1 hot spot to go for the holidays is still New York City. So that is the spot. And I was in New York last year during the holidays, just loved every minute of it. However, I have to say, when I was there, it was sunny. It was cold, but it was sunny. And the day we left, then it had this huge snowstorm, and we just got out of there in time. They had to de-ice a plane 3 times. It finally took off and got out of there. And I was thinking, I really don't want to be stuck here in a bunch of snow either. So I was glad. I enjoyed New York when it was sunny and freezing cold. But I don't really care if I'm in there in a big old snowstorm. So, but New York, the decorations and the hustle bustle, really exciting. So lots of fun. All right. According to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, the U.S. airline industry collected $2.4 billion in the first 6 months of 2018, up from 7% from the same period last year, and is on track to total more than $5 billion for this year's. And baggage fees are a big part of all that. Baggage fees, all these extra fees are just, the tickets now are lower if you notice them because they get you on everything else. And that brings up the question of what will they let you take on the airlines during the holidays? Because last week we were talking about people bringing food on airlines and how did you get food in their suitcases and whatnot. And our travel question of the week is about that. But they say there's good news for golfers and skiers. Golf clubs and ski snowboard gear are welcome complimentary on both U.S. domestic and international flights with major carriers, as well as some musical instruments are complimentary. And even Alaska Airlines is a carrier that recently expanded their popular Wine Flies Free program, which allows passengers to check for a free case of wine, up to 12 bottles, from vineyards in the states of Oregon, Idaho, Washington, and now California.
Wow.
Yeah, so they'll let you bring a case of wine. But there is a question of where you put this stuff.
Right, that's what I'm trying to,
Yeah, because you can't put it in a seat next to you unless you buy the seat.
Right.
Or the plane is empty. If the plane is empty, kind of empty. And their seat, they'll let you put it in the seat next to you, your musical instrument and this kind of stuff. But if it's not, you either have to buy a seat or they will pack it for you. They will store it in one of their places.
So they'll let you bring it if you buy a seat for
them. Well, if it's really up in the air. If there's no seats available, you're going to have to, right. And they can't put it somewhere. You have to get something. So check before you fly what that airlines is giving you for free, because they are giving a lot of items for free. Scuba gear is not really one of them, but check it out. I know.
My dad just ended up just leaving a set of clubs here.
Oh, did he?
He got tired of bringing them back and forth.
And that's probably easier. And most places rent clubs and whatnot. So.
Well, it gave him an excuse to have a second set of clubs.
And to come play golf. All right. Quickly now, hotel companies, resorts are banning plastic from water bottles to straws to earbuds. Single-use plastic is being targeted for elimination at hotel companies and resorts across the globe. And in China, this sounds very interesting. A former quarry now opens up. It is the Intercontinental Shanghai Wonderland, which stretches nearly 290 feet below a cliff. 16 of the property's 18 floors are subterranean, including two that are underwater.
Whew. Crazy.
Crazy. All right. Time for a step aside. We'll be right back. Jeff Kreider joins us. We're going to talk about travel. We will have our travel question of the weekend more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, as we kick into holiday mode. Yeah, travel mode's crazy out there. Just be careful. Use some common sense. And if they tell you you can't go, then don't go. I mean, it's really that simple. All right, joining us in studio here is Jeff Kreider. Now, it's been quite a while, Jeff, since you've been on the show.
Yeah, it has been a while.
It has. The last time you were here, if I recall correctly, you were here with your son. And I think now that the more I think about it, you and your son were getting ready to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I don't think you had done it yet. Sean, do you remember? I don't think you had. You were getting ready because you had been doing a lot of hikes and a lot of practicing. We're talking about the clothes that you wore or had to wear. So let's start with that.
That was back in 2016, so it was a couple of years ago.
It's been a couple of years. Hopefully.
And we were doing all kinds of training hikes on the Bump and Grind Trail here in Palm Desert, and then we were also going up to Idlewild frequently to do long-distance hikes. And then we also did a hike from Palm Springs to the Tram, which is like the longest part of what they call the Cactus to Clouds hike. Mm-hmm. That was really tough. We did that a couple of times partway as a training effort, and then we did the whole thing before we did Kilimanjaro. And I'm glad we did, because when we got to Kilimanjaro, it turned out to be a tougher climb than we expected. The trail was ridiculously steep.
Yeah.
But the good news is we made it.
What made you think that it would be easier? I mean, the name even sounds so daunting. And the people and the pictures that you see of what the people go through. Why did you think that it wouldn't be quite that hard?
Well, I knew it would be difficult, but the trail didn't switch back that much. A lot of times the trail just went straight up the mountain. Mm. And Kilimanjaro is a volcano. So there were many times when we were literally hiking straight up the mountain. And I'm not really used to that. In the States, our trails usually switch back. They go back and forth, and you gradually go up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But this trail had a lot of sections that were just going straight up.
And how many days did it take you to get to the top?
That was 7 days.
7 days. And how long do you stay at the top?
Maybe an hour. When we got to the rim, now this was at the end of June.
Yeah.
We left in the morning. We were camped at our highest camp at about 16,000 feet. And then we got to the rim, which is just under 19,000 feet. The wind chill was 30 below.
Oh.
We had a couple of hikers with us from Michigan.
Yeah.
They gave us the weather report. They said it's 30 below. Yeah. And we believed them, because I had never felt anything like that. It was frightening.
Yeah.
Very dangerous how cold it was. But we made it to the top. It's 19,341 feet. And we were there for maybe about an hour, and then we came back down. And the trail going up, it was 5.5 days going up, and then it was a day and a half coming down. The hardest part was really, aside from just dealing with the altitude as we got towards the top. That mm-hmm. was difficult. There were a couple of hours there when I didn't know if I would make it.
Because of the breathing.
Because the breathing was very difficult. We were nauseous. My uh-huh. head was pounding. Mm. But the hard part physically was my knees coming down because the day that we summited Kilimanjaro, we had to drop all the way down to 13,000 feet after that. That's like a 7,000-foot descent, and that's very hard on your knees.
And why so quickly? I mean, why did they want to go down so quickly?
They typically have a lot of issues with people having bad reactions to the altitude, mm-hmm. and so they wanted to get us down quickly.
Huh. Did you know that when you went up that it would coming back would go that fast?
Yes, because they had given us an itinerary, so we knew. Yeah. But we did this for Lifewater International. It was a mm-hmm. fundraising effort to raise funds for their water projects in Ethiopia. So mm-hmm. it was a neat, worthwhile cause that we were able to do.
Definitely. And Jeff, when did you start traveling?
I started traveling when I was about 7 years old mm-hmm. with my mom and stepdad in a motorhome. And we hit all of the national parks that we could in the western United States. And my stepdad, Ray, was an endodontist, and he used to like to travel to get away from the stress of work. Mm-hmm. And so we would frequently leave on Wednesday nights and come back on Sunday. And we would go to Yosemite. We'd go up Route 1 to Big Sur. Mm-hmm. We'd go to the Grand Canyon, Death Valley, Colorado. I mean, so by the time I was a teenager, I was pretty familiar geographically with the western half of the United States. And then he always encouraged me to travel and sent me on trips with high school students. I went to Europe when I was 14, visited 7 countries there at that time. And then later on in college, I did a study abroad program in Spain, and I was there for a year. And then traveled all over Europe when I was there, and then also got into Morocco with some friends.
Hmm. And it makes, I know people are wondering, your career path in life, has it been one that has dealt with travel all through your life? Or did you have a 9-to-5 job? Because usually people...
Yeah,
well, I had a transient in a sense, because like to be able to pick up and go.
Yeah, I went through a period after I got married and when my kids were growing up where I was fairly housebound. Mm-hmm. But that didn't really last that long because mm-hmm. I eventually made a transition from being a newspaper reporter to working in public relations. And when I did that, that led to business travel across mm-hmm. the United States. And then in those days, I worked for U.S. Filter when they were headquartered mm-hmm. here in Palm Desert. And they eventually got acquired by Vivendi out of Paris, France. And so I went to Europe a couple of times mm-hmm. on business meetings then. Then later on, I established my own firm and working independently, especially as my kids have gotten older.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've been able to travel more and more.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I have an incurable wanderlust about me, and my dad tells me that my grandfather was the same way.
And I was talking to one guest a few weeks ago. We were talking about space travel, and he asked me, it was actually Vincent Battaglia, and he said, well, Francois, what is it about the space travel? Like, why do you want to do it? What would be the most exciting part of it? And I'm not sure exactly how he said it, because for him it was just to go and say he did it. But for me, I said it's the experience. It's the experience of just getting there, sitting in the spacecraft, the whole thing. And he sat back. He said, and I see this in you. It's about the experience mm-hmm. of everywhere we go. It's not just going and say that
right.
we went. There's so much more than that. I mean, you might as well not even go if all you want to do is just go and say that you went somewhere.
Right.
But it's the experience of getting there and what you're going to find once you're there.
Yes. And I love all of the things that go with that. I love sampling food in different places, listening to music. Mm-hmm. And then here in the United States, the historical places that you mm-hmm. see along the way to someplace interesting.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating. And I love to take the back roads mm-hmm. and explore places that I haven't seen before. And I like to go back to places I have been to before. We have a lot of neat things to see here in this country.
We do.
And it just depends on what your interest is. If you're interested in architecture or mining or whatever, we've mm-hmm. got really neat things to
see
here.
Those points of interest along the road, Mm-hmm. People drive by and always say, I should have stopped. Mm-hmm. I should have stopped.
And I'm stopping more now. And yeah. Now when I do business trips, probably shouldn't say this on the radio, yeah. But now when I do business trips, and I've been doing this maybe the last 3 or 4 years, I'll take an extra day or two wherever I am and see what's there. I was in Buffalo, New York a few years ago, and I did some travel there. I had a meeting last fall in Connecticut. And instead of just going to the meeting and coming home, which is what I used to do years ago, well, the meeting was at the end of September. So what do you do when you're in Connecticut at the end of this September? Yeah. Well, you go look at the fall color.
Yeah.
So I got there a week ahead of time, and I drove up through New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine.
I saw we're Facebook friends, and you posted some incredible pictures.
Yes, and
they were spectacular.
Thank you. Last fall, unfortunately, they had an unusually warm fall in the Northeast, and so there wasn't as much color as there should have been at that time of year, but I did get a taste of it.
Yeah.
There were some trees that were just spectacular with the oranges and reds. Yeah. It was really neat. I really enjoyed it.
And I do think the more people do travel, I could be wrong, but I do get the feeling that the more people do travel, the more they start seeing things where they didn't at first. If it's just business, boom, boom, boom. But I think, like you said, you start deciding, oh, I want to take a little more time. I want to see a little bit more. And it gets under their skin. If they're really enjoy traveling, it
expands. Well, this year in April, I had a client meeting in Texas in the Houston area. So instead of just going to Houston and then coming back home, I took a couple of extra days, and I had another meeting that I scheduled in Louisiana. So then on the extra day that I had for myself that I budgeted, I went and saw some of the plantation country there. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been to Louisiana before, but it was about a 5-hour drive from Houston, which is a bit long, but really I was just enjoying the whole drive over there because I like seeing the countryside. And, and southern Louisiana is a beautiful place. I mean, a lot of the freeways are elevated over the bayous. And and it was fun just to see all of that country and then turn off into some interesting nature places and kind of look around. And it's just really interesting to do that.
I'm so happy that you're saying all this, because sometimes people, they ask me questions all the time about travel, and I'm seeing more and more of my Facebook followers now are posting, because they see me post, like you, some of these quirky little weird things all over the place. And it doesn't have to be the major tourist attraction, Paris, Rome, and all that. It's just places that we stumble across and we see. And now they're doing that, and they're sending me pictures. They'll say, oh, you'll never believe what I found here, and stuff that I didn't even know.
Well, the other thing that I'm using now more than I ever have in the past is I'll use my cell phone and I'll get on Yelp and look for recommendations for, say, restaurants.
Yep.
And so when I'm in Tucson, a couple of years ago, I was there for some meetings, and I looked for Mexican food. And there were at least...
What is it, the mile? How many miles? The mile, a miracle mile of food
something
or something?
Like that. But I found several recommendations for restaurants, and the first one that I went to has been so good, I haven't even gone back to the others to try them yet. And then in Texas, whenever I go there for meetings, I go look for good barbecue. And wherever I am, I stop and I ask the locals, where would you go?
That's the way to do
it. Because I find that in places like Texas, you'll find half a dozen or more places that have 5 stars or whatever in terms of their barbecue. So then you need to go pull into like a store or a gas station or another place and ask somebody.
The locals.
Yeah.
I totally agree. That's what I don't even look at Yelp. I'm not a big Yelp user and stuff. I just want to stumble across it, whether it's good or bad. I want to ask the locals and just try it. I don't want a preconceived notion in my head that I should go there.
Yeah,
if it looks appealing to me, I'm going to stop and I'm going to go. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a few things. We're going to talk about IMA Helps, how you're doing, what you've been doing with that. And we have our travel question of the week and some other stuff. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise and Françoise Rhodes, your host, joining us in studio. It's been a couple of years. I didn't realize it's been a couple of years, Jeff. It's Jeff Kreider, and he is a world traveler, and he's in the PR business, does all sorts of things, but he makes sure that his life revolves around travel. And I also want to welcome Cabot's Pueblo Museum to the show. You can go to their website, cabotsmuseum.org. Have you been to the Cabot?
Yes.
It's fascinating.
Yes, it is.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize that the Pueblo there is made from adobe style and sun-dried bricks that Cabot made himself in the courtyard. I mean, there's so much history there, and the museum and the grounds, and it's really interesting in Desert Hot Springs. So if you haven't been, folks, you need to go. And it's a great place to send visitors to. It gives you an idea of what the valley kind of could have been at one time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's so much foresight. All right. One thing we want to do, we can have a little fun with this, is I always have a travel question of the week. And this one was about, of course, all this craziness with the holidays going on, people trying to carry food in their suitcases. And they're doing it, actually. But now TSA is saying, well, there are some things that you, yeah, it's tough for us. We want you to take out certain foods now. Have you ever tried to carry food in your suitcase?
I've had apple butter from Indiana. And that I was going to give as family gifts, and it was confiscated.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Well, they're being a little bit more liberal with foods that people are taking. So the question was, have you ever tried to take food across country in your suitcase? And I'm trying to think if I ever have. And I had those wine skins, you know, where you can put wine in. I think I've carried a gift from wherever I was, wine, and maybe some foods. I don't think any of it's ever been confiscate. Maybe Jamaica, they confiscated. But anyway, here's some of the answers that we had. Nancy Edwards said, I have flown with Western French salad dressing from Iowa to California and my mom's homemade pickles. Oh, can you imagine if this stuff breaks in your suitcase? Linda Majoria says, carrot cake from my work, the best ever. And these people are not saying it was confiscated. Mickey Bauer, I flew back to Palm Springs with a loaf of my sister's banana bread. What they are saying, though, at the airports is they are going to have you take it out. So when it runs through the scanner, they say that food kind of blocks the scanner and they can't see. So be prepared. If you're taking food, you are going to have to take it out of your suitcase, just like, and put it in one of the bins and let it run through. Tell them it's a food item and you can pretty much take it. So it's just having you take it out of the suitcase. Gail Oldenkamp said, years ago when my Navy daughter lived on the East Coast, she could not get enough tri-tip. I went back to for Christmas and froze two bags of it, wrapped it in newspaper, and put it in a suitcase. They were hand-screening luggage then, and she was very confused. I joked that I was taking Aunt Martha home, and after I explained what it really was, we all had a good laugh, and they let us take it. So just be prepared so when you are carrying foods on the plane that you can do that. It is the holidays, but make sure that you take it out before you go through screening so you don't have the problem. And more than likely, they're not going to take it away from you. So
that's the only time I've had them take things away from me, aside from the apple butter from Indiana, was coming back from Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. One time. I had a mountain passion fruit. They call it maracuya.
Yeah.
And when I came through L.A., going through customs, you know, they have you fill out that form, or they used to before it was all computerized.
Yeah.
They asked me if I had any agricultural products or whatever. So I said, yes, I had one maracuya. Well, then I actually got sent to the secondary inspection and they confiscated my little maracuya fruit, which they taste incredible down there. And the guy told me that if I had not declared that I had it, it would have been a $300 fine.
Really?
So I didn't know that. Yeah,
huh.
I didn't know that. So it pays to be honest.
Yeah, there you go. Huh? Wow. All for a little fruit. Well, interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, let's talk about, you have been with IMA Helps for a long time. What is IMA Helps?
IMA Helps is a nonprofit humanitarian organization headquartered here in Rancho Mirage. And we organize the largest private humanitarian missions, medical missions to Central and South America. And as of last year, when we saw our 100,000th patient, we have performed countless surgeries. We've fit people with leg prosthesis. I mean, changed lives all over.
How many trips have you been on with IMA?
With IMA, I think I've been on 13 medical missions so far. I've been with the organization for 11 years, and I've done about 30 international trips when you include the planning trips and whatnot, because we typically have about 100 volunteers now who go with us on these missions, and we'll see thousands of people. In our last mission, we were in Luque, Paraguay last summer. We treated over 6,700 patients and provided more than $7 million in medical care.
That's amazing.
And it is just an incredible experience.
And I'm thinking you go to areas that are a little outside of the normal city limits. You go to areas that they don't have hospitals and doctor's offices.
We do go to areas with hospitals because we need the hospitals to be able to do the surgeries. Okay. But we work with the ministries of health in each country, and they send us to the most impoverished areas of their countries, and because they know what the statistics are. Mm-hmm. And so they like to send us to areas where they have the greatest healthcare needs. But typically, though, these areas are places most people would never see. So we've been in El Salvador. We've been in Nicaragua numerous times. We've been in Peru. But we've been in places that nobody's heard of. And that's kind of the point. I mean, it's makes for quite an adventure.
Yeah.
But we're also seeing people who really need help. Yeah. There are people who have obviously fallen through the cracks. And oftentimes it's not only a question of their poverty that prevents them from getting health care, but they have a shortage of doctors that are even qualified to give them care. In Paraguay, for instance, they have a real problem there because of a medical brain drain. Because when they have medical students there, they typically leave the country and go to Brazil or Argentina because they can earn more money.
Oh,
So
you're seeing a lot of people probably that have never even seen a doctor before.
We see people like that, and we see people who have never been to a specialist. And we'll go with a cardiologist. We'll go with, plastic surgeon. I mean, we'll have people who can fix all kinds of things. And then the really neat thing is that when you help someone who really needs help of some kind that they haven't been able to get, you heal the whole family because the rest of the family no longer has to stress about that person. And so it's really neat, the ripple effect that you see.
And for more information, you can go to imahelps.org. That's imahelps.org. And I'll put it on that Traveling with Francois website. And you were talking, we were talking during the break, that you usually have police escort to some of these places or military?
We typically have a local police that will accompany us from the hotel where we're staying to the hospital. And because we have a large group, I mean, you could consider us being a target. But it's just mainly to make sure that we don't have any problems.
Right.
And
that the locals understand that it's okay. It's a good thing what you're doing.
And the people are grateful to see us. I mean, we often will receive applause when we arrive in different areas. I mean, it's very heartwarming. But it's really just to make sure that everything is fine and that there's no issues. And fortunately, we've never had any problems in all of these years and all of the places we've gone.
That's great. And we have just really about 30 seconds or so. And the missionary, it's been all over the news. I'm sure you've heard about it. The young man who went to an island that he bribed people to take him over there, drop him off. Obviously, he lost his life because they didn't want him there. What do you say to people that even get those kind of thoughts when...
You know, it's very dangerous. We don't do any purely humanitarian organization, so we have no political agenda, no religious agenda. It's just humanitarian, just helping people. Yeah. And I think that when you go into some of these remote areas, you have to be mindful of what you're getting into. And some things just don't make a lot of sense. And I think that...
Too bad. He wanted to spread the words. But great job on your part. You need to come back not 2 years from now, okay?
Right. I'll come back sooner.
Come back sooner. Good luck on all that you're working on. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too.
All right, folks. Is that music coming on shortly? Here it comes. All right. Next Sunday, I will not be here. I'll be heading out to Arizona for about 4 days. We will replay a past show. Everybody have a great week. Check the website for new contests, all sorts of new content. And remember, as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.